I certainly appreciated James' prayer that our study might further our thinking and talking about the church as God set it up. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Read verse 13 and tell me why Paul said he spoke the things he did. Because he believed. The speaking was a result of what he believed. Look at Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 talks about confession. What does one confess according to that verse? That's a correct answer. What he believes, that Jesus is Lord. You confess what you believe. And so here we are talking about the church, and our terminology often reflects what we believe. Sometimes we get our tongues tied, and it doesn't do that because we don't say what we mean to say. But oftentimes it's a reflection of the fact that our thinking may not be in line with what God has revealed, as we prayed with James a while ago, and thus our study. And so we're looking at the term church. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians here and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Here we have the word church. And what does that word connote? Or what does it mean? What with a church at Corinth? What is that? The local church at Corinth are a group of people who met to work and worship together in Corinth, right? Church just has a group, a body of people. And it's identified as a locality, in a locality. All right, look at chapter 12. Same letter, same writer. In verse 28, he uses the word church. God is appointed to the church. What does the word church mean there? Body of saved people. At Corinth? No, not local, is it? Look back up at verse 12 and 13. It's the body that you're baptized into. It's the body that comprises verse 28 apostles. So here is, again, a group of Christians, but this time on a larger scale. Yes, sir. I don't think so.
To me, the context was local in verse 26.
Okay, let's look at the context. Back up in verse 12 and 13, he compares the church to what?
Body.
How do you get in this body? Baptized into it. Are you baptized in the local church? No. Same imagery, 26, the members of the body. And then, to further illustrate, he talks about the various gifts that have been dispersed by the Holy Spirit for the common good of all, among which are apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, etc. That's not true of the local church. That's true of the church universal. And so, verse 26 is just, again, talking about the analogy of the body, how each member has a part, and the function of that member affects the body. And the same is true with these various gifts. If, for example, the apostles failed to use the gift God gave them, who would it affect?
The whole body.
The whole body. Same with teachers, prophets, the whole thing. And so while verse 26 may be true of the local church, it's just in this context, I don't see local church anywhere in chapter 12. Application is made to the local church because the members of the local church are members of the body. Right? The church universal. And yes, he's making application to them and the use of their gifts. So, unless I'm mistaken, if somebody else want to comment on that, it looks like church universal to me throughout. Mike, did you want to follow up on that with any comment? Okay, but you're basing your interpretation on a practical view, which is true. But in the context, the body is the one we're baptized into, 12 and 13. That's the context.
See, I see the body used in both senses here. I see the body used in the universal sense. I agree with you on the 12, we're baptized into one body. I understand that.
Okay.
And I don't argue that point at all. But I see it used in both senses here in this chapter.
Okay. Okay, well, you study that for yourself. Mike thinks it's local. I think it's universal all the way through. All right? And then in chapter 14. In chapter 14, this is a little tricky, so be careful here on this one. 23. How's the word church used? Wait, I know it's tricky. I'm not trying to trick you, but look at it again. The word church. Does the assembly assemble? The local church assembles. Now, when the local church assembles, what do you call that assembly, verse 28? Church. It's an assembly. That may sound tricky, but that's what he does. They use that word that way. It's just a body of people. When the body of people in Corinth who work and worship together assemble, now they're assembled. What do you call that assembly? What word would they use? Church. Here he says the interpreters keep silent in the assembly. Verse 33, God is the God of peace in the churches. It's true, God wants peace in the local churches, but he's talking about assemblies here. Same thing in 34. Women are to keep silent in the assemblies. Verse 35, woman's not to speak, that is to address the assemblies like the prophet and the tongue speaker did. And so it's assembly. So every time you find the word, you got to just let the context dictate with this, remembering that the basic and concept of that word in their language was a group or a body. And then there's something that ties the members of that group together, whether it's simply being in Christ, church universal, whether they live in the same area, church district, in a sense, or whether they're members of a fellowship, a local fellowship, church local, or whether they're part of a physical assembly, the church assembled. Okay, let's look at our review questions. We're on number 13. We talked about the way we speak reveals what we think, what we believe, and that's certainly true. And so these statements that I have here are not necessarily wrong, depending on what they express, what a person means by at least some of them. here's one I don't think we talked about E, did we? I think that's where we ended class, wasn't it? In the restoration movement, the church is restored. What church is restored? Is it the church universal?
No.
Is it the church in a district sense that's meant by that? No. Is it some local church? No. So when we say, and brethren say, and brethren write, preachers write, the church was restored. What is that? It's kind of vague, isn't it? It's unclear. What's probably meant is the concept of the church. But the church is not a group of churches. The church is not a doctrine. Church doesn't set doctrine. There are churches today that supposedly adhere to the restoration movement in their teaching. I don't. I'm glad for the restoration movement, the work those men did. But this is our pattern right here, the Bible, not the restoration movement. So when we say the church was restored, what do we mean? Stop and think. What does this reflect about our thinking? Okay, all of Brother and Sister Smith's children were raised in the church. What does that mean? I know what we mean by it. What do we mean by it?
They attended regularly
at the local congregation. If we say they're raised in the church, are there any possible bad effects of speaking that way?
It's not an institution, it's not a
thing. Sir, ma'am? Okay, it's not an institution.
And it's not an assembly.
They weren't raised in an assembly. When these kids get to be 15, if their parents talk this way, you say you need to be baptized. Why? Been in the church all my life. Raised in the church. No, you weren't raised in the church. You're not a member of the church. And another issue, I'm not getting into it in this class, but I'll just throw it out. Since they're not a part of the local church, it's not their responsibility to contribute. But anyway, they're not a part of the church. They're not raised in the church. Okay? Yeah. No.
Say, you are really mixed up, you know. So you had a positive comment about, you know, you were thankful for some of the things that came out of that. And that's the kind of thing we ought to begin our statement with. But then, move into the clarification. Because there were local groups that probably turned some things in a positive direction because of the restoration movement. That's not what's intended.
Right. You're exactly right. That did happen, no question. But who controls the church universal as to what it is?
Christ
does. And he's not going to lose control, folks. And we'll talk more about that in our next lesson. Okay, so good point, Rod. John married in the church. What does that mean? What do we mean by it?
But
do we mean in the building?
That he married a Christian.
Married a Christian. That's what we mean by it. So what are we associating church with? What's the synonymous in our thinking, in the way we're talking?
A belief system.
With a Christian, right? He married in the church, married a Christian. Is a Christian the church?
No.
Can a person be a Christian and not be a member of a local church?
Yes.
Should he be a member of a local church?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. Yes, the church needs to be painted. We're talking about the building again, as Rod pointed out. Because somebody says that, you don't say, "Okay, sit down right here. I'm going to give you a lesson here, you reprobate." That's a legitimate use of that word in our language. Wasn't used that way in the New Testament. Are there any repercussions? I don't know. Maybe simply the loss of the pure concept of what the word meant as it was used in the first century, maybe. I don't know. But obviously, that's the building. Okay, we've talked about I in a previous class, point I. The local. This is a quote. You see, I got the quote marks there. And this is from a debate between Robert Turner, some of you knew Robert Turner. He's passed away now, and this other fellow was a preacher in some churches that contended that the church could unify under what's called a sponsoring church. Wally taught a class on religious history. Those of you who were in his class may remember that when you got to Alexander Campbell, Alexander Campbell was a proponent of what later became known as the Missionary Society, where churches, where preachers were set up as a separate organization, and churches sent their money to these preachers, and these preachers decided what preachers got the gospel in what part of the world. Sounded like a good idea. But part of Mr. Campbell's thinking was based upon his concept of the church being composed of the churches, correct? And so you got to, the church has got to do this work. Well, the church, what do you mean the church? What's the churches? Well, how are the churches going to do it? If the churches are going to work together, one, you got to have oversight. Where is it going to be? Missionary Society. So we may not think, I said in a previous class, it's like a railroad track. If a railroad track, you look at it, it looks parallel, but let's suppose it's off 1 inch every 50 feet. Will you be able to see that? What if it's 500 miles? Now that same thing continues, what's going to happen? You don't want to be on the train riding on it, do you? You're going to have a crash. And so we need to get our thinking in line with the New Testament because we don't know where it'll lead us down the way. And you see this in this debate. You'll note on the third line, are the churches of Christ the church of Christ? If they are not, then Christ has no organized body of people working under the authority of duly appointed leaders on this earth. The local congregation is a component and extension of the universal church. And then he compared it to Israel. Whose analogy in his comparing the local churches to the to physical Israel? Whose analogy is that? Mr. Gaston's. It's not biblical. Local churches are not compared to spiritual Israel. Where are they? Go ahead, Mike. Okay. But the church does not comprise churches. There's nowhere in the New Testament, all the times it occurs, that it comprises churches. And so the idea that the church is divided into congregation groups, and note he says classes and committees. That's something else you don't read about in the New Testament. So the church is meaning the various congregations are spoken of in the Scripture synonymously with the church, meaning the universal body. That's simply not a true statement. But of course, if you think that, then the church has to preach the gospel. So if you're going to work together, the churches are going to work together to preach the gospel, you've got to have some kind of oversight. And thus the sponsoring church arrangement. Okay, Church of Christ Radio. You got Church of Christ Radio, finest preachers of the Church of Christ, speaker of Church of Christ Radio. When you see Church of Christ Radio, is that Church Universal? Is it? If it is, what does it encompass? What does it include?
Bunch of dead people.
Right? Right or wrong? Is Paul a member of the church? Paul the Apostle? Yes. Yes. And it includes every Christian on the earth. They don't mean that. Is this a local church somewhere?
Could be.
Is it? Is that what they mean?
Most of the time it's collective of local churches doing this.
Yeah, it's not talking about one church, local church. It's talking about a collective of churches. It's not talking about an assembly. It's a collective of churches. Church of Christ Radio. It's the churches of Christ present this program. What many churches of Christ? What churches of Christ? The one collected under Church of Christ Radio. That's exactly what it is. The Southern Baptist denomination. What is that?
All the Southern Baptist churches.
What?
All the Southern Baptist.
Not all the Southern Baptist churches.
Okay.
It does include Southern Baptist churches, but it's not all of them. That's right, the ones that work through that oversight, through the Southern Baptist Convention. Look up, I had the definition of denomination on your lesson. It's congregations or churches working under a single legal and administrative head. You won't find it in the New Testament. But that's what you have in these kind of concepts. Okay, following was taken from a welcome brochure and a track rack in a local Church of Christ in 2009. Is the word church clear throughout? Circle or highlight the phrases using church or the Church of Christ or Church of Christ. Put a U beside the one speaking of the church in a universal sense. An L beside the one speaking of the church in the local sense. So turn the page there, I think, to get the first use of the word church. When you read in this tract, somebody comes in your building, they pick up this tract and they start reading. And it says, these Christians, as they are later called, became the Church of Christ. Local or universal?
Universal.
That's universal. All right, second paragraph, not a denomination. The Church of Christ is not a denomination. What do you think they probably mean there?
Universal
is probably what I would think they mean. Now, the churches of Christ, what's that?
Local.
That's local. Church is local of Christ, Romans 16:16. Now, the church of Christ, not a denomination, universal, followed by the churches of Christ. What the churches of Christ do determine what the church universal is?
No.
No. Okay. Now look, you got church in the first sentence. Universal. Churches in the second sense, local. Second sentence. Now look at the third sentence. The Church of Christ does not follow human creeds, disciplines, or manuals. How is it used there? And what I put was question mark. I don't know what they mean. Is that a collection of churches of Christ? Does that mean that local church? What do they mean by that? I don't know. So now you get to the last paragraph. The worship of the Church of Christ. What is that? Is that local? Universal? I don't know what they mean. They've used it universally. They've used it locally. Churches. The worship of the Church of Christ. I don't know what that means. I think I know what they mean to mean. I'm just saying our speaking can be confusing. Yes. Yeah.
The churches of Christ follow only the New Testament for its.
Oh, I hadn't even caught that. So thank you. I missed that.
I don't know what they're talking about.
You notice that? They got a singular. The churches of Christ for it. It should be there, shouldn't it? Plural? Unless they've collected churches of Christ into one. Churches comprise the churches of Christ. Is that right? No. No, it's not. We preach autonomy. We tell people we believe in autonomy, but does our language reveal that we really don't understand autonomy? Autonomy is self-government. Go to lesson two. You thought we'd never get there, didn't you? No assembly worship. That's right. Rod, you're right. The only church worship the Church Universal does is each individual praises God, maybe beside his bed when he kneels down at night to praise. But what they have in mind is our assembled worship, as somebody said. Probably. Singing, praying, giving the Lord's Supper, preaching, that kind of thing. And again, same thing. I wouldn't walk into that tract and that church, pick up that tract and cause a fuss. I would be surprised sometimes our own language is sometimes not as clear as it ought to be. It's just trying to get us to think what we prayed with James. That our thinking is clear and according to God's plan, not our plan. Okay, look at lesson two. Anybody need a lesson two? I've got some others. If anybody needs a copy, anybody need a lesson two? Right here. Okay, let's look at lesson two. You'll note in the opening paragraph, it's important to determine whether universal or local church is under consideration when reading the scriptures or when speaking about the church. A failure to distinguish between the two leads to confusion in concepts and unscriptural practices. For example, the work of the church, oversight of the church. But one church must be a member of the church to be saved. We've talked about this in some previous classes. People have a wrong concept altogether. We just got through reading in this tract, the worship of the church. What is that? What is that? And so let's try to be clear first in our concepts, and then that may reflect itself in our speech. Thank you, sir. Okay, so entrance into the church. We have here God adds. Look at Acts 2. Who were added?
Those being saved.
Verse 41, when they were baptized, they were added. Verse 47, who added them?
The Lord.
The Lord added them. Suppose somebody in the audience would have said, no, no, you can't be a part of that group. Would they had any power?
No.
Lord adds. They didn't have to take a vote. They didn't have to get approval. They didn't have to join as we talk about joining, where, okay, I want to be a member. How many hands are in approval? How many nays? How many yeses? None of that. You obey the gospel, the Lord puts you in the group of the saved. And so now look at the difference in Acts 9, however. Paul's already baptized, verse 18. So when he was baptized, verse 18, was he added? Yes, he was added. Now he goes to Jerusalem. Verse 26, this version says he was trying to associate with. The King James Version says what, Sally?
Okay, say to join.
You mean you've got your daughter using the King James. All right. Okay, a say to join. Is that correct? Yes. I thought he was already a member of the church. Now you can see where our terminology becomes important, doesn't it? He was already a member of the church, but he wasn't a member of the church. How can that be? Because one time it's talking about the universal body of the saved, one time it's talking about a local group of people. Now this version says trying to associate with. In other words, he's trying to be part of the fellowship. If you look back on your lesson one, under local church, you'll see page 5, common characteristic, a specific fellowship, worshiping and working together in a given locality. That's exactly what you have here in Acts 9:26. Paul's already been added to the church, but he's not a part of this fellowship in Jerusalem. Now, when he gets there, he tried to. Could they stop him? Yes. Different, isn't it? And not until Barnabas, continue to read, took him by the hand, told the disciples about he had obeyed the gospel, was preaching Christ, did they receive him. So do you join the local church? Yes. That's exactly what happens. When people want to be members here, we talk with them first. We may, it rarely ever happens, I guess, but we may say, no, you don't need to be a member here. You're not a Christian, or you don't share the goals and aims of this group. We could do that, couldn't we? Yes, we can. Doesn't mean we're right about it, but we're authorized to do that if we do it properly. So here you can see, we get, when I boy growing up, I was taught you don't join the church. And that's partly true, depending on what you mean by that. You do join the church, this one. Paul did. Look in Acts 18:27. That's what the determination ought to be made, is whether or not as a person the baptized believer. Let's suppose they think they are and they aren't. Do they become a part of that group?
No, they aren't.
What'd you say, Ennis?
Say, not if they aren't.
Well, suppose you think they are and you welcome into the group. They start having fellowship with you.
They are part of that local group.
They're part of the group. Doesn't mean they're a Christian. You just made a misjudgment. That can happen. We'll read about a church in a minute had one of its members that was in fellowship with the devil, not the Lord. Okay, so Acts 18:27, Apollos wanted to go across to Achaia. The brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. Why? Why did they have to write the disciples to welcome him? Wouldn't they just welcome anybody? Did they have any say whether or not he could be a part of the church in Achaia?
Yes.
Yes. They wrote a letter. Apollos had been teaching error, but he had been taught correctly by Aquila and Priscilla. They encouraged the brethren to welcome him. Churches do have the right and the responsibility to control their fellowship. They do. Okay? Now look at Revelation 3:16. Oh, wait, go to question one. Hold up before you do that. Go to question one. Under questions and discussion. When a person is scripturally baptized, he thereby becomes a member of A, the universal church. That's the answer. Let's suppose, though, he's baptized in this baptistry right here. Doesn't that make him a member of this church? No, it does not. Does not. Fellowship is what makes you a member of a local church. Working together. He may be traveling through, heard the gospel, moving on to Detroit.
So as, Steve, as I answered this question, I thought about children of families that have been raised in the church, right, going back to our earlier. They are part of this group. They are not saved believers. Now they're baptized, they're saved believers. You understand what I'm saying? It's a unique situation, and that's not what you intended by the question.
No, that's a good point. I don't consider unbaptized people a part of this group, even though they've been here every time the doors are open.
They're part of the assembly.
Part of the assembly, right. But we have people in our assemblies who've never been baptized for remission of sins, and they're here more regularly sometimes than people who have been baptized for remission of sins. But they're not part of this fellowship. Okay. Revelation 3:16. What does Jesus mean when he tells the church at Laodicea, those Christians in that church, I will spit you out of my mouth? Is that literal? No, it's figurative. What's it connote? What's the idea?
Rejection.
No fellowship. If they have no fellowship with Christ, are they still part of the body of the saved?
No.
They are not a member of the church. Could they still be a member of the Laodicean church?
Yeah.
Yes. So a local church controls its fellowship, but the church universal, God controls that. And he tells these people, if you don't repent, you're going to lose fellowship with me. We need to make people understand that because your name is on a roll and you sit on the pew doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Doesn't mean you're in fellowship with God. And what was their problem? Immorality? Were they adulterers, fornicators, robbers, or what? Lethargy. Just lazy. Well, what a lesson for us, huh? John 15. Jesus is talking to his apostles about their mission to carry the gospel to the world. He said he's a vine. My father's the vine dresser. Takes care of the vine. That's the imagery. What happens if the branch doesn't bear fruit, according to verse 6?
Burned up.
Burned up, cut off, burned up. Does that indicate continuing fellowship?
No.
This is a lesson to the apostles? Yes, it is. You may have been chosen. You may have been in my company for 3 years. But if you don't carry out this mission, you're going to lose your fellowship with God. And they would not be a part of the body of the saved. Aren't you glad they bore fruit? Because he says later in the chapter, your fruit will remain. And because their fruit remains, I'm able to read this book. Okay, now let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. Who's this letter written to? Church of Corinth, a local church. Okay. He said in verse 1, it's actually reported there's immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You've become arrogant, have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this deed would be removed from your midst. What does he tell them to do in verse 13? Remove him. Had he been removed yet?
No.
If you went to church at Corinth, would that guy maybe be sitting on the pew by you? Could he lead the singing?
Yep.
Maybe. Is he in fellowship with Christ?
No.
Churches control their fellowship. They may fail to control it because of friendship or ties or afraid to offend somebody or just not being attentive. Sometimes not knowing. It's happened in the past right here in Humble that people were living immorally, but the elders didn't know it. Others knew it, but they didn't tell the elders. And sometimes those very people who were living immoral, most of the Christians in the church thought they were some of the most godly people they ever met. In fact, they were hypocrites and living ungodly. Because the name's on the roll, they sit on the pew or stand in that pulpit, doesn't mean they're Christian, folks. And we don't want to give anybody any false hope because of that. Your only hope's Christ. This church can't save anybody. Christ saves people. And it's fellowship with Christ, not name on a church roll, that saves you. Look at 3 John verse 9 and 10. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I'll give attention to his deeds which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words, and not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren. Does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. How do you know that this is not the church universal? How do you know it's not?
Only God
can remove you. That's how you know. Diotrephes can't do it. Isn't that comforting? Somebody may not like you, They may say you're a hypocrite. They may hate you, but they can't remove you from the body of the saved. Only Christ can do that. What a comfort. So here's old Dr. Fees. He loves to rule. He's kicking people out of the church. So what does that have to be? The local fellowship, right? Or the church local? So, these people that are he kicking out of the church local, as you read John's writing, should they be kicked out? No. Dr. Fees is doing the wrong thing. He doesn't receive the brethren. It's wicked what he's doing. And so there are people who may be withdrawn from by a local church who are still in fellowship with God. I knew a man like that in Oklahoma. One of the finest Christians I ever met in my life. He had been withdrawn from by a church, I don't remember, Florida or the Keys or somewhere. And this, again, in my opinion, one of the finest men I ever met. And would have been proud to call him my brother in Christ. And I did. So, because somebody withdrawn from doesn't necessarily mean that they're out of fellowship with God. And that's a comfort to us. But it's a warning to us as brethren. When we withdraw from somebody, in Matthew 18, we studied that. Why do you take more than one before you ask the church to withdraw from somebody? That every word may be what? Confirmed. That's right. And then where two or three are gathered together in my name in accordance with his will about this matter, there I am in their midst. He agrees with that. But it's got to be done in accord with his will. Okay, we'll pick up, about ready to get the buzzer here, with number four in our Wednesday night class. Thank you. Number three? Oh, I'm sorry. Number three.